T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Just wanted to hear a little more of the great Robert Randolph of the Family Band. Welcome back, everybody. It's 108. Chad Hartman, Adam Carter, Dan Cook with you on News Talk 830 WCCO. Let's bring in a longtime friend, Hennepin County retired judge Kevin Burke. Kevin was a part of Hennepin County's judicial system from 84 to 2020, multiple terms as the chief judge, multiple terms as the assistant judge, and has been very, very helpful to us over the years here at CCO and also at The Fan. We want to talk about what is taking place with the third day of the manslaughter trial of a former Brooklyn Center police officer Kimberly Potter in the death of Dante Wright, the taser or gun, the video we have all seen. And Kevin, how quickly this is moving out. Always a pleasure. Hope you're well. Want to get caught up on a couple personal items before we finish. But they've already today added a 10th juror. Is that about where you thought they would be with day 3 when Judge Regina Hsu is looking for a total of 14 jurors?
I think they're on schedule. I think that if you look at this case, it is not like the Chauvin case, which had such dominant pretrial publicity. They used a very comprehensive jury questionnaire. So the lawyers and Judge Hsu know a lot about the potential jurors. And I would not be that surprised if they don't finish jury selection, certainly by tomorrow.
Which route do you prefer, Kevin, the lengthy, comprehensive questions compared to a little more limited and then longer questioning of the jurors themselves, where you honestly don't know the answers as opposed to you trying to follow up on a lot of answers that you've learned from the questions?
I think the questionnaire works pretty good. I think that it's important, though, that the lawyers demonstrate that they've actually read the questionnaire of the answers, so that nothing can be more troubling to jurors that they spent all this time carefully filling out a questionnaire, and then you get asked the same question that's in the questionnaire. I personally think that jury selection is very important. There's a study, it's kind of dated, but it will illustrate the point. Is a lot of jurors make up their mind based on what the case is about and what the verdict should be, based on the impressions that are created in jury selection and the opening statement. Despite the idea that we tell jurors, keep an open mind, wait till you hear all the evidence, wait till you hear the law, et cetera, you know, your common experience of going to a movie or a play, and somewhere about halfway through the movie or the play, you kind of make some judgments as to whether it's really very good or not very good. So I think the questionnaire makes some sense, and certainly in a high visibility case like this, it's absolutely essential.
I certainly understand the potential power of the opening statement. But take me through the power and what jurors are thinking, according to this study, and then your sense as a lawyer and a judge, maybe the questions they face, mm-hmm. or the makeup of fellow jurors and how that potentially plays out?
Well, there's been an evolution about opening statements in criminal cases. So I graduated from the University of Minnesota Law School in 1975, and at that time, it would be not unusual for a criminal defense lawyer to reserve making their opening statement until they presented their case. You hardly ever see that anymore. I think that everyone understands the importance of a captivating opening statement, and lawyers have gotten much better at it. I think the other thing that the public should know about this case is, if you decide to watch it, is the lawyers on both sides are really very, very good lawyers. So that if you have the opportunity to watch this, I think what you'll see is very good lawyers on both sides.
Does it seem similar to the quality of lawyers we saw in the Chauvin case? And if it's different, in what ways is it different?
I think the quality of the lawyers in the Chauvin case were really very good. So I would anticipate the same kind of experience here. They're good lawyers. They have a judge who is very good, and she has a calming effect on people. I think some of us may have seen trials recently in other states in which the judge kind of lit up the courtroom. That's not going to happen with Reggie Chu.
Yeah, I want to get to that. Hopefully we can keep you a second segment. I want to get to a couple other cases outside this area. Remind folks, retired Hennepin County judge, frequent guest of the show, Kevin Burke, is kind enough to join us. Okay, there was a debate for a while on whether this would be available for streaming. In the end, Judge Chu changed her mind and made it available. We talked about this some in other cases. Is there any reason why this case shouldn't have been available through video?
I think that that COVID really forced Judge Chu's hand. If you look, it's the same courtroom as the Chauvin trial was conducted in. It's the largest courtroom that the court has available. There would be no practical way to allow the public to see this trial short of streaming. There was a discussion about trying to have it like an ancillary courtroom over in the Family Justice Center. But in a sense, that you're going to end up having to, you would have to stream it to get it over there. And then you have the same problem, which is bringing large numbers of people into a small, confined space, exposing them to something that's perhaps not healthy. And certainly the same thing would be true of court staff. So I think that Judge Chu had really no practical alternative other than to say we're going to live stream it.
Okay, so let's get to the key part here. Dante Wright is pulled over. Kimberly Potter and another officer approach the vehicle. She makes a mistake that ends Dante Wright's life. She does. If we accept the reaction that we all saw right afterwards. And I get that people are going to differ on that. To me, it appears she's shocked, she's horrified, cannot believe that she just made this mistake, which would end Dante Wright's life. When we're then talking about finding Potter, the former officer, guilty of second and first degree manslaughter, and now that video is just the essence. It is the case itself. Take me through how that's going to play out.
Well, I think there'll be instructions on what the law is at the beginning of the trial, which will define these two offenses. It's a close call, at least in terms of the law, as to the difference between first and second degree manslaughter. It's not like the difference between manslaughter and first-degree murder. It's a, as you have seen, if you've watched the video, is this is this didn't take very long. So I think what's going to, if the case is going to come down to, is the jurors will see the video, they'll hear the arguments, and we now know they will hear from Ms. Potter, who's going to testify, apparently, and then they're going to have to make up their mind.
Our guy, Joe Freeberg, came out, and this will shock you, the Jordan opinion, and said when the Attorney General's office...
How did you ever pry that out of Joe Freeberg?
It's hard. It's really, really difficult to get Joe to open up. It's really a special skill. In other words, I just stop talking, and he starts giving fact-based, fantastic opinions, which is why he's gold on radio. He said when the decision was upgraded from second to first degree, this is the Attorney General's office, and fairly directly, Keith Ellison himself, bowing to public pressure and bowing to the reaction of the public and horrified. And also, Joe felt like the consistent mistreatment of blacks in our legal system in Minnesota and across the country. When you hear that from Joe, what do you think?
I respect Keith Ellison. I've known Keith for many, many years. I knew Pete Orbit, who appeared before me quite a bit when he was an assistant Hennepin County attorney, and he brought the initial charges. I'll defer to them. I don't really feel comfortable speculating as to why Pete didn't charge the additional case or why Keith did.
Let's do this. Let's pause. I want to get to other matters, including judges, how it's playing out. I want to get your thoughts on the Supreme Court, the political side of that. We're lucky to have Kevin Burke on with this. He was with the Hennepin County judicial system from 1984 to 2020. The fastball is still there. He would still do it. There was just a retirement age. He was twice the chief judge, multiple times the assistant judge, and he's great on so many cases. Short pause and back with Kevin Burke in moments on CCO. Brittany is 40 today, so we're playing Britney Spears as our proper music. Nobody loves Britney music better than former judge Kevin Burke, who is with us. On your phone right now, do you have one single Britney Spears song?
On my phone?
Yeah, on your phone.
None. And as far as I know, it's possible my daughter stuck one on there, but I am not aware of it.
Your main music on your phone is?
Mostly light jazz.
Jazz, okay. Anybody in particular?
Earl Klugh, I like. I like Boney James a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Spyro Gyro. Those are ones that come to mind.
Speaking of your daughter, tell folks where you're going.
We're going to Florida. There's a thing called the Hurricane Tour, which is a series of tournaments that are run nationwide for girls and boys between 14 and 18. There's the Hurricane National Championship, in which you have to win a tournament to get invited. So it's an invitational. And Kate won Midwest Junior Open. So we're off to Orlando later today, and she'll play in the tournament Saturday and Sunday. So
fantastic.
Pretty big deal.
No kidding. Congratulations on that. Let's go back to the news here. And obviously an incredibly important couple hours yesterday with the Supreme Court as the debate is taking place on this Mississippi law and abortion and viability at 15 months. Roe v. Wade has been hotly contested in this country, even though it's a legal precedent going back to the early 70s. We have politics all over this. We have Supreme Court decisions. We have debates. I don't want you to get too, well, I'll ask you one legal question on this. But when you look at how so many of us will look and say, okay, well, the liberals are here and the conservatives are here, or the, you know, Obama-Clinton appointees are here and the Bush-Trump appointees are in that spot, and we're talking about with Supreme Court. Are we right or are we short-sighted when we classify it that way?
Well, you'd like to say you're short-sighted, but I think the Supreme Court has become a highly politicized place, not necessarily through their own fault. And the example I would give you is there really was no excuse, none, not to have hearings on Merrick Garland's nomination to the Supreme Court. And I think that, more than anything else, really contributed to the demise of the Supreme Court's legitimacy. But having said that, I think that the individual justices themselves have to bear some responsibility. As an example, we just talked before the break about Reggie Chu is going to have live streaming of what happened in the courtroom in Hennepin County. There's really no excuse, none, for the United States Supreme Court not to have live streamed what happened in the courtroom in Washington yesterday. It certainly is a case of major national interest. And so the idea that, well, we don't want any cameras in the courtroom is a pretty naive view about where they are with the American public. Most of the polling says in the last 2 years, the public support for the legitimacy of the court has crashed. And that means you got to do something. And they don't appear to be willing to. I think the second thing is, when Earl Warren wrote Brown versus Board of Education, he made sure that the opinion was short enough that it could be reprinted in full in every newspaper in the United States, because he understood how important that decision was going to be.
Sure.
And he couldn't at that time go on the internet to read it. Al Gore hadn't invented the internet yet. So
that's true.
Now I know this is going to happen. There'll be more than 200 pages of stuff that no one except law professors is going to thoroughly read. And so the way they communicate, the Supreme Court communicates with the public, is really not very sophisticated. So I'm down on them.
Okay. You're a former chief judge. You were a part of this. You pay close attention to the Supreme Court. Part of what John Roberts has tried, especially seeming the last couple years, he's tried to find as many rulings where it's 9-0, 8-1, and he's had a lot of power. Considering the strong views of individuals that we know already where they've stood before on legal precedent regarding abortion and Roe v. Wade, do you think there's any scenario at all where on this case that John Roberts can put together something that gets even close to 8-1?
I suspect not. But I think this is a really important decision, but you got to also look at the Texas decision, in which that's kind of looming out there. Mm-hmm. Mississippi says you can get an abortion. You can't get an abortion after 15 weeks. Texas has got this law that essentially says you can't get an abortion in Texas.
Yep.
And it strikes me that it's not. There are many people who they would never have an abortion. But I don't know that we want to live in a society that says to a young woman who's been raped by her father, you need to carry this pregnancy to term. The suggestion, well, she can just leave the baby at the hospital, means months of reliving the trauma of a rape of your father. And that's what both Mississippi and Texas, and it's perhaps the Supreme Court, is prepared to say, oh, that's okay.
The Rittenhouse case drew so much interest for so many reasons, including when he was found not guilty. We haven't talked since Judge Schrader was such a viable, visible, vocal part of the case. Some thought he went too far. Some thought he was so atypical. And others said, you know what? This is how some judges are. If you saw courtrooms on a regular basis, you wouldn't think he was that outlandish, so to speak. What did you think about how he conducted the courtroom during that trial?
Well, for years, you were announced the Timberwolves games. And the last thing you want in a Timberwolves game, basketball game for that matter, is to have the story be about the referees. Hey, mm-hmm. The story is not about the referees. Exactly. It's about the game, how the players played, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think that he's may very well be a very nice man, but if you didn't do a very good job, if everyone is talking about your role in the case, and I think on that that criteria, he didn't do a very good job.
Can you think of anybody close to him in our courts the last 10, 20, 30 years?
Oh, I think that if I was going to be, if, I will be honest. Yes, I can, and no, I won't tell you what their names are.
Hey, love it. We got to do this more often.
Okay.
Travel safe. Best of luck to your daughter, and you're playing down there yourself also, right? You got to be finding
play,
a way.
We're going to play Bay Hill on Monday.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's a good thing that – So she's been training. She got up this morning at 5:30 to go to the gym.
That's awesome.
That's a dedication that I didn't have when I was her age.
Yes, and that's sadly, it is so, so competitive. If she doesn't do that, she could pass. You know,
yeah.
So that's just a part of it. All right, Kevin, best of luck. And again, thanks for coming on.
Bye-bye.
So good to us. He is, man, he is relatable. He's intelligent. He's lived it. I mean, his work with the drug court in this county is amazing also. Hennepin County, former judge, Kevin Burke. Adam, back in the mix in moments on CCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
This may be number one for me. Yes, I have this on my phone. Toxic from Brittany. 40 today. Adam is back with us. Adam, do you want to explain it just briefly to the audience just tuning in why the sound quality is just a little bit different for you today?
Yeah, I'm broadcasting from home today, and I will be for the next several days because we've got a positive COVID case in the house, and that means I'm in obviously close contact, so I will be broadcasting from my house for the foreseeable future, but that doesn't lessen the quality of my broadcasts in the least.
Yeah. Any thoughts on that?
I mean, what can you even say to that, right?
No. I mean, we could say no.
Oh, you mean you could say that?
I mean, we could. Good. And we should mention the individual has a cold, no other symptoms as of now, any more significant than that.
Not serious, no. I was tested last night. I was negative. I probably will continue to probably get tested here. And let me add to this, because at the start of the show, we brought up the fact that I had to miss the concert last night. We had to miss the concert,
yep.
Jason Isbell. And Strand of Oaks, by the way, who was the opening act I was not familiar with. Well, I downloaded some of that music last night. Also very good. But we we could not go to the show at the Armory, and the person we're dealing with at the Armory is about a 10, has been incredibly accommodating to us, totally understood about our situation, and is making arrangements for us to see another show in the future. So just bravo to the folks at the Armory for allowing a little wiggle room for us.
I also, because the person in calling me, Dan, I want you to chime in first. I was told, Adam instantly said, don't you know who I am?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Adam Bleeping Carter from CCO. Either you give us accommodations or I'm going to bury you on the radio for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I've got access to 50,000 watts of power with which I can rant and rave against you.
You know, it's so good to hear that. You told me that last night. When we have these moments of complete frustration, sometimes we're the ones who've screwed it up, by the way. But then we run into either we're not patient enough, we're being the jerks, or we run into individuals who are just don't like to do their job, or there's incompetence, because that happens.
Mm-hmm.
It is, you lose your soul at that point when you're just trying to explain something. So when it happens, and bravo to the Armory, because all my experiences with the Armory have been tens also, it just leaves you with such a positive feeling where I want to go out of my way to go to that place again or to use that product again. And I hope all of us can be reminded of that.
It's happened to me twice now in the last week, and we all are frustrated by businesses, and we think we're getting screwed a lot of the times. And it's so easy nowadays to go on Twitter and blast somebody, and sometimes they deserve it, or at least call them out for something that went wrong. I tend to be, while I've wanted to do that many times, I tend to try to do the opposite, which is kind of goes against my personality. But another example, last week I went and got my oil changed at just one of these Valvoline quick change oil change spots.
I was available. Did you think about coming over?
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay.
I have it senior year, Armstrong High School, second semester. They may not have been a lot of focus outside on shenanigans. I did take
small gas repair
mechanics. Yeah, car repair. I did change the oil on a vehicle.
You were Danny Zuko with the rest of the T-Birds in there working on Grease Lightning. Is that what you're telling me? Hey,
thank you. I did it. And, I mean, I don't think there's any chance, and you know what, that if all of a sudden you said today, go ahead and do it again. But I did it on my own. May still be the greatest accomplishment of my life. You know, some would say having three kids.
Talk about peaking early.
Other parts of my life.
Well, no, and let's be honest here for a second. I mean, you know, when you're in high school, you're changing the oil on a Model T, which is a little bit different than what we're dealing with these days, right?
Yeah, right.
I thought you were going to say a horse.
Well, I mean, I didn't want to go horse and buggy, but there's not really an oil change there.
I'm just seeing Chad right now with a leather jacket collar up, cigarette hanging out of the lips. Go Grease Lightning, you're working on the quarter mile.
Okay, so that makes me think, by the way, and I want to get to Valvoline in a second. Excitement level for all of us to see West Side Story, the Spielberg version, which is out now, or about to be out.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Oh, the reviews are crazy.
Baffle?
I like musicals probably as much as anybody at the station. I think I'm the only one who doesn't get free tickets from Fred the Ticket Guy for the Orpheum or wherever the heck it is. You know, all you freeloaders get them, and I'm basically jealous. Okay, so you went to I'm a Valvoline guy.
So I went to the Valvoline right here in Rosemont, right on County 42, and pulled in there, and the guy couldn't have been nicer. It was him and two other guys, and he's telling me about what they're doing. He's, how they show you, here's your filter. He's being honest with me. You don't need to change this yet. He says, I could sell you one, but you don't need to do this. And he's just walking me through the process. And before I left, I stopped and I said, you know what? You do a hell of a job, and your guys do a hell of a job. And I just want to let you know that, because, in this day and age with unemployment as low as it is and people trying to find people, you're going to get a lot of crappy service out there. And I just want to let you know that you do a hell of a job here, and I'm absolutely coming back. And he said, thank you very much. But I just, that I'm more inclined to do that than say, you know, complain about somebody and say, you know.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, you're more inclined to off-air complain to us. You know,
right. I'll complain to, you know, I'll, you know, do the old Minnesota passive-aggressive thing. But.
Yes.
For sure.
I also, by the way, I've had great experiences with Valvoline. Bravo to Valvoline. At one point, you sounded like W there. Doing a heck of a job, Brownie. Doing a heck of a job.
I tell you what. Oil change is great. Mission accomplished. Am I right?
Okay. So let's go back to good on you to say I've been in close contact with someone. I would love to go to this concert, but I'm not going to go. Adam and I talked about this a little bit last night. So I'm going to start with you, Dan, but I want text. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Percentage of people 18 and above. And it's, is this, if you could see anybody on the planet, Carter, how high is Jason?
You know, for sure, you know, top 10 for sure.
Okay. One of the top 10 acts that you've wanted to see, and it's hours before the show, and it's not you, but it's someone you're in close contact with, percentage of people, Dan, who would still go to the show. Still go to the show.
I'm going to sound optimistic in this answer, although I'm still annoyed that it was as high as I'm going to guess it would be, but I'd say probably about 40%.
Adam.
Percentage of people that would still go.
Still go to the show. It's their one of their top 10 acts. They've been waiting. You know, we can even add, let's even add this. Canceled, like Isbell was. Now you have great tickets. You got a great experience. It's a place you really like. Still going to go.
In the same circumstances as me where they actually went and got tested and were negative, even though they share a house with someone who's positive?
Precisely.
Okay. I am going to say Dan's got a pretty good number. I'm going to give people a little more benefit of the doubt. I'll say 30%. 3 out of 10.
I'll stay consistent. I was exactly at Dan's number. 40%. I don't think it's the majority, but it's pretty damn high. And it's pretty damn insulting that you are deciding that you are potentially at this point transmissible. Don't know it yet. You've had a negative. Now, some would say, Dan, wait a second. I just tested negative. I just tested negative. Why should I not go? This close proximity. You don't know where you're at, if it isn't showing up quite yet. If I was going to go either, because I'll just stay be consistent, even though you said it. If I was going to go higher or lower than 40%, I'd go higher because the negative test. I'm more worried than the number of people who would test positive and still go. What do we think that number is? You test positive and it's still a show you want to go to. What's that number?
I think it's still like 20%.
I think it's even more. I think if I got to go over or under 20%, Carter, I'm going over.
No, I think people who actually test positive, I would think, 2 out of 10.
Which is still a ridiculously high number.
Yes. I mean,
oh, yeah.
One still, is ridiculously high.
Yeah. It's selfish. It's not caring about others, which is one of the points we talk about all the time about the vaccine. It's like, why are you so worried about me? Because it's transmissible and the power it has on others. Okay, what's your percentage under Adam's circumstance? Close contact for him. He's negative. He did 100% the right ethical, smart thing to do, which, by the way, surprises Dan and I because we don't think of him as ethical. What percentage of people still would have went to the show? 651-461-9226. Okay, the scenario at hand is what happened with Adam. Adam in close contact with someone who tested positive off to the Jason Isbell concert last night. He tests negative, but out of safety, he does the right thing, doesn't go. I raised the question, under the same scenario, you test negative, but you have had close contact, and we know this now, the way it works. You can test negative one day, and that sort of close contact, it can change the next day or two. What is the number? What percentage of people still would go to the show? Dan and I were at about 40%. Adam was about 30%. Let's go to some of your texts on the topic at hand. 651-461-9226. Somebody talking politically here. 70% of Republicans still go. 20% of Democrats still go. So let me ask this, Adam. We see and we appreciate that we get so many texts. Don't always agree with them. The very rare time we have to block them because they're such a level of filth, but that is the rare exception. We get the back and forth. By the way, we'll respond. And I find it strange when some people get upset if we respond and try to correct something or disagree, but that's how we do it here. We see in a week, Adam, hundreds of texts who are downplaying the power and the reality of COVID. So are we selling this too low for those folks who are saying, they would have died anyway. It's a pharmacy scam, blah, blah, blah. Don't buy it. When you're saying 30% who tested negative wouldn't go. Because I'm starting to think my number might be too low at 40%.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right. And I want to clarify, too. I mean, you said, you know, have close contact. That's it, too. I mean, if I'm in the same circumstance and I'm not living with the person who's got the positive test, it's like, okay, well, I was in an office for, you know, an hour with this person. I don't know that. I might feel differently on that. You know, if I'm vaccinated and I've tested negative and I was with this person maybe for an hour, you know, the person in question here, I'm living with them. So, and have been in very close contact with. And also, you know, what's leading me to my choice to not go last night too is not only about obviously not wanting to put other people at risk, but also just my enjoyment level. Yep. Not having, you know, not being able to enjoy it like I would normally.
Well, I'm going to tell people you're now living with Joe Mauer, and it was Joe who tested positive.
Lobster says, she texted me. She says, I can say it's her. It is her. It's my wife. So okay. It would not have been nearly enjoyable if I could not go with her. So, but at the same time, you know, I'm rethinking, you know, if it's one of her kids or my kid, probably not. That's just too close.
Let's get to some of the texts here. My oldest tested positive says his younger brother wears a mask at the same high school and didn't show any symptoms. He was told to continue to go to school. We're getting multiple texts along that same lines, Adam, that with kids and schools, that even if they live with somebody,
yep,
and they took a test and they're willing to wear a mask, boom, go ahead. You had to with the show last night. It's twofold. It's Isbell and the Armory's policy. You had to show vaccination policy. Does correct. It make you think, outside of just you're also showing support for Jen, right? That if it would have been a buddy,
right?
Okay. Who it's okay. It's me. Let's say I'm working at the place a lot more than I am now, and we're going, and we've been in close contact. Okay, and you can say, hey, I really didn't want to go with him anyway. Let me call Pete.
Put my MAGA hat on and go to the show.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I'd be, because, again, that's both of it. That's something, you know, I'd want to go with you, and we were working together for a while, so that probably changes things, you know. And it's like, I don't know. I mean, it's you got it over no fault of your own. And like Jen got it over no fault of her own. And it's like, well, you know, that's too bad for you, but I'm still going to go to the show.
More text here on the topic, and I appreciate a bunch coming in. 651-461-9226. I got tickets for a suite at the Wild game tonight. I tested positive for COVID last night. I'm not going to the game. Sad. Chad.Hartno. I would wear a N95 mask and go. I'm asking for honesty. I would think it would depend on the act. Some acts draw different types of people. I'm guessing the Ted Nugent concert will be higher than Springsteen. 100% correct, and that's part of our conversation last night, Adam.
Yep.
I mean, with Ted, it might say on the ticket, I don't care if you have COVID. Come anyway.
Bring your oxygen tank with you.
Yeah, you know? The burning question is, who did Mr. Adam give his tickets to? Well, that's kind of tied to the good reaction with the Army, right?
Absolutely, yeah, because it was so short notice that we, you know, we're just seeing, could we possibly, A, get a refund or, you know, some work something out, and they were very accommodating.
More text here. My son tested positive, so I skipped a family event. My own family members fought over whether or not I should come. You can't make anybody happy right now. You know what the only adjustment I would make? You can't make everybody happy right now.
Yeah.
And how many times, guys, do we talk about with holidays and what we do when there's a divide on who's vaccinated within the family? And who's coming over and who's not coming over? So that is a part of it. Okay. Follow us on Twitter. We'd love to have more people, especially from our CCO audience. Follow us on Twitter at Chad Hartman Show, at AC830, at Dan Cook, WCCO. Linda's construction time check is 158. Any issues with the windows? Check out Infinity from Marva Windows. Even though she's on vacation, she's in. Susie Jones with some nonsense, some shenanigans, and the game show. Coming up next right here on CCO.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.